Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's holy word this evening, this the sixth Wednesday in the season of Lent, is our lesson I read just a moment ago from 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and chapter 12. And we continue tonight and conclude our sermon series on Take Up Your Cross with different people in the Bible. And tonight we have Take Up Your Cross, St. Paul. Dear brothers and sisters in the faith, one of our old hymns goes like this. It says, I trust, O Christ, in you alone. No earthly help avails me. You will not see me overthrown, though Satan's hosts assail me. No human strength, no earthly power can save me from the evil hour. For you alone my strength renew. I cry to you. I trust, O Lord, your promise true. Tonight, St. Paul, in what I read for you, book of 2 Corinthians, talks about boasting. And he does a fair bit of it himself, doesn't he? He boasts, which looks like the least appropriate thing to do when we're talking about taking up your cross, but he doesn't stop with boasting. Later on, he says he delights. He delights in the cross that Christ has given to him. He says, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses. I delight in insults. I delight in hardships. I delight in persecutions. I delight in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, the world around us does not get that. About the closest this world comes to that is the old saying, that which does not kill us makes us stronger. But that is a far cry from what is being said here by St. Paul. The world's way of speaking is different than the Lord's. Because while you and I may talk about how strong we are, God's word always talks about how strong he is. St. Paul's words tonight come to us out of a larger situation. Ask any preacher of any experience and they will tell you that congregations are like people. They each have their own personality. They have their own issues, good and bad, things that we struggle with. And St. Paul tonight is talking to the congregation at Corinth, and the congregation at Corinth was, I guess we could say, a problem child. If there was a problem, you could name it, the congregation had it. St. Paul writes this to them, and I quote, this is what he says. He said, I'm afraid that when I come to visit you, that there's going to be strife and jealousy and angry tempers and disputes and slanders and gossip and arrogance and disturbances. Quite a list. But it doesn't end there. An uncomfortable fact about the church at Corinth is that St. Paul's presence was not required there. They did not have an interest in him coming to visit, which is kind of mind-boggling to us. Even back then, he'd started the congregation. You would think they would welcome him back with open arms. But since the time that St. Paul started the church, other leaders had come along, and the people were saying, and once again, I quote, Paul's letters, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Philippians, Colossians, Paul's letters are weighty and strong, but his personal presence is unimpressive, and his speech is contemptible. Paul is not weighty, he is not strong, he does not move the people, and our leader must be weighty and strong and moving. And so what you see in the congregation of Corinth is a charisma competition going on, charisma competition between the various leaders of the church. And think for a moment, Paul had started that church and he was no longer welcome, and that had to hurt. It had to hurt the man, especially in the last few chapters. He talks about it again and again. And his reaction is at the same time very human and also very Christian. Let's hear it again. He says, since many, I quote, since many are boasting in the way that the world does, I too will boast. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I'm out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently. I've been flogged more severely. I've been exposed to death again and again. And at that point, you notice a subtle little change of direction. This is what he says. And I quote, who is weak? And I don't feel weak. Who is led into sin? And I do not inwardly burn. If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. Book of 1 John. St. John reminds us that the world boasts about what it has and what it does. What it has and what it does. And strangely enough, when you read the Bible over and over again, you see that a Christian person boasts about what they don't have and what they haven't done. Now, of course, it takes a long time to get there, from one to another, from the world to a child of God. Things happen to a child of God, like Moses. You remember our first Wednesday night? Moses has his earthly prowess stomped on by the Lord. Jeremiah, the next week, he searches, but he can find no comfort in any human being. Mary, the following week, the devil knows where to hit you, where it hurts the most. Peter, the following week after that, the worst cross he had to carry was what? Himself. Mary of Bethany, the week after that, insulted because of her right and correct and God-pleasing actions. And now you have St. Paul, and he's weighed by people in the balance, and he's found wanting, and they show him the door. And maybe you miss the gift in all of that. And all those things that happen to all those believers and to every other believer who walks this earth, because we all got to carry a cross in one form or another, you miss the gift. And the gift is this: while the world boasts in what it has and what it does and how good it is and how strong it is, you can boast in an opposite direction. You boast about what you do not have. You boast about what you do not do. You boast about how good and gracious God is. You boast about how strong and powerful the Lord God is. And he says simply, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. It's like the fires that come through our forests. The Lord's crosses burn away things. They burn away how good you are. They burn away how strong you are. And when you're not good anymore, and when you're not strong anymore, what do you have left? The Lord said unto me, the Lord said unto you, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. God took that cross to burn away the old sinful growth so that a new plant could spring up, a new growth, something that we call faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Paul says, and I quote, and that's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, I delight in insults, I delight in hardships, I delight in persecutions, I delight in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Strong by the power of God. No wonder Martin Luther would call it the Blessed Holy Cross, because that is the very best work that God does in a person's life. the work that gives you not earthly things, not temporary things, but gives you faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. So when you come to church, you can sing the hymn, not just because everybody else is singing it, but because you believe it and you know it and it's true. You sing the hymn, "I trust, O Christ, in you alone. No earthly help avails me. You will not see me overthrown, though Satan's hosts assail me. No human strength, no earthly power can save me from the evil hour. For you alone my strength renew. I cry to you, I trust, O Lord, your promise true." And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.